Heather just said it's not personal, everybody leaving here. But anyway, it's such a joy, isn't it, to see these young lives. What a wonderful thing. I was thinking as Mike was opening and then Liam shared, it's also a wonderful thing we have so many people in so many different ministries that are serving us and serving specific groups. I would really encourage you just to be thankful for that, but also be prayerful for each one and every ministry. I really thank the Lord. Think of all the things that are happening, and we just want the Lord to empower each one, to protect every ministry, to work mightily through these ministries. But I want to just thank those who are serving us so effectively and faithfully. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So be thankful and prayerful. I just wanted to mention one praise item. I had said last week, a dear friend of ours, her name is Janice. She's a pharmacist. She lives in Nova Scotia. She's in Benin, I think, in Africa. And I ask you to pray that her luggage would be found. And it has. It was a big deal because she, being a pharmacist, she had medications for the people that she's ministering to. And also a material to minister to the children. So the two roles, ministering to the children and ministering to the physical needs. So thank the Lord for your prayers and thank the Lord for the answer. Pray for her. Marty just received a text from her, I think last night, that she's seen little ones come to trust the Lord Jesus as her Savior. And so really continue to pray for Janice. She'll be there, I think, about a week more. So anyway, and also I wanted to mention, there's so many needs, but I just wanted to highlight one. Dick and Doreen's little grandson, Hunter, is very, very sick. So Dick and Doreen are children's this morning today. But just pray for little Hunter. It's more complicated than they thought originally. So just be fervent in your prayers for this little boy and his parents. And so I just wanted to highlight that. Well, we thank the Lord for the music. We thank the Lord for all those who are here. Let's just pray. God, we want to just lift our hearts in praise. I thank you for each one who ministers in this ministry. I thank you for the Sunday school right now. I pray you'll richly bless those who are serving. We pray for these little young lives that they might, each one will come to know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. You will protect them and guide them and guard them. And I pray for all those in ministry in the various facets, that all the ones that are, the ministries that are starting, that you will bless and protect and mightily use, guard and guide. May this be a wonderful season. May we be protected by you, but may we make real progress in the things of God. May we be a place where you that will be submissive to you and you can use us to accomplish your will. We do want to pray for little Hunter. We pray that by your amazing grace, you will do an amazing work and bring recovery to this little one, this barely born baby, and really help his parents. Thank you for the answer to prayer with Janice, our dear friend, and may you use her in wonderful ways, and may many children come to Christ, and also may she be able to help many who have huge physical needs in that land. And Father, we have our own needs. We know there are so many other needs. Some of them have been mentioned. We want to lift everyone up, and we want to lift everyone up that is in our mind, our heart. There's people that have needs that are not mentioned. We just ask that you will do a great work, that your grace will meet the need where it is at. And we pray for our need right now. We all have spiritual need. None of us have arrived. We all want to keep growing, and you want that for us. And we pray that we'll be a people who do not stagnate spiritually, but we will be growing and vibrant, and we'll be becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus. So bless our time. Guide my words. May they be guarded by your Spirit to accomplish your will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. A renowned theologian was once asked, "What is the most profound thought that you have ever pondered?" Now, you might just think about that for yourself. What is the most profound thought you have ever pondered? That's quite an overwhelming question. But he responded like that. And he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." First of all, I should ask, do you believe that? We've probably all sang that. Jesus loves me, this I know. I love hearing my little granddaughter sing that song. But do we believe it? How would that affect us if we do? What does that change in us? How does it impact our lives? One of the reasons that this concept is so important, to grasp the fact that God loves us, is because that gives us certainty for our future. You know, a lot of people are going through life and they're just kind of living the moment. And when they come up for air, they almost are fearful, scared, confused about what's coming. And of course, Satan wants to keep us in the moment, right? He doesn't want us to think about what's coming. He's trying to keep us duped, blind. But you know, we don't have to be duped and blind to have certainty about a great future. But we do have to know God loves us in order to be confident that we have a great future. Now, we go back to Romans chapter 5, and we've dealt with the earlier part of this section. He talks about things that God uses to change us, to grow us, to mature us. He talks about tribulations. None of us want it, but God uses it. We live in a sinful world, broken world. God uses the trouble to grow us as believers. But then he brings us right back. In verse 4, it talks about these things that God uses: perseverance, proven character, and proven character. Hope, hope, hope. I need hope. We need certainty that something great's coming. And then we come to our verse in verse 5. And hope does not disappoint. Now, I want you to think about, think how many things in life disappoint. Think about, you know, the Christmas gift you were hoping you'd get. And you went that day, and there was a box, and it was kind of the shape, and you were hoping, and you opened it up. Oh, man, Mom, did she ever miss. That was not what I wanted, right? Hope that does not disappoint. Now, let's just say, I have to be really nice to Jack, because he's supposed to drive me to the airport this week. Don't forget, Jack. Anyway, okay. Now, let's say I have this great gift for Jack. Tommy Hilf. How does that go? Hilf? Okay, it's a nice watch, okay? Watches. Watch. Tommy's nice watch. So I give this box to my friend Jack, who's going to drive me to the airport, if he forgives me. And so I give him this watch. I give him this box. And so, you know, he's pretty excited. I've never given him anything, right? He thinks, oh, man. So, Jack, you want to see what you get? Yeah? Yeah. Oh, wrong box. Oh, it's not a nice watch. It's a Lego man. Do you like Legos, Jack? There you go. Oh, you got to have good friends, right? That forgive you a lot. Okay. Now, you know, there's some people, where's my little box here? Okay. There's a lot of people looking at the end of life, right? They're looking at the end of life. They're hoping for the best. but they haven't done anything to prepare for it. And when they open, when life's over and they open the box, it's going to be absolute disaster. It's going to be a lot worse than Lego Man if they don't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you've got the most awesome thing. We were reading earlier today, it is so amazing, it hasn't even entered the mind of man how awesome it is. But are you certain of that? How can you be confident that you've got something great ahead of you that will not disappoint you, that will not leave you frustrated and, for some, in absolute disaster? Now, this is an amazing thing. This hope does not disappoint. This hope does not disappoint. There's another verse, and this is in Romans as well, and I'll read it to you. But Romans 10:11, it says, "For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him, and believes in Christ, will not be disappointed." You won't have that, "Oh, I can't believe I got this." You will not be disappointed. Absolutely not. If you've come to Christ. A hope that does not disappoint. But how is it possible? What can give me a certainty? So when I walk out of here, I can be confident that something great's coming my way as a believer. Notice what it says. In our passage, we see, and hope, verse 5, and hope does not disappoint because, this is the reason, this is the why. You know, there's a book titled, Why? Well, we need to ask that question, why? Why will I not be disappointed? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The love of God has been poured out. Now love, as I'm sure you've heard, it's the word agape, and it's used. It's the most powerful word for love in the New Testament. There's other words, phileo, not as strong. But this word agape has the sense that God will give you the very best. He has done His best to give you the best. And that's from God's standpoint. God wants the best for us. Now, we may not always get that in a broken world. I understand that. But God is able to work in the midst of a mess, and this world is a mess, in the midst of a mess to give us His best, His love for us, His love. And isn't this amazing? This thought of, just think, His love poured out. Like, Marty asked me the other day, or yesterday, he said, "Would you water my flowers?" And there's some little flowers in pots on the front of the house. And so I get this, you know, little container, and I fill it up, and I go out, and I pour it out. Now, I don't know if I drowned it or whatever, right? But I put a lot of water there. But you know what? God's put a whole lot more than a little water in our life. He has poured out, the love of God has been poured out upon us, invested in us, poured out. Notice, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. God has made an investment in us from His best to give us what is best for us. And notice, it is wrapped up in His Son. Now, I'm going to read this verse, and again, these verses initially come from Romans, but in Romans 8, and I read this, Romans 8:38, it talks about the love of God that the believer can never be separated from, broken away from. This is absolutely over the top. And he talks about this kind of love. He says in Romans 8:38, "I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And this is what I want you to pick up on right now. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love is wrapped up in His Son. In the person of His Son and the work of His Son. It's all about Him. It's all about His Son. Now, in that same context of Romans 8, it talks about what the Lord Jesus did. In Romans 8:38, it says, Christ who died, we know He died. He died in our place. We'll talk about that. Rather, who was raised. He didn't stay in the grave. He was raised. Who is at the right hand of God. He went back to be seated beside His Father, the right hand of God, who also, and this is amazing, He's thinking about you. He's interceding for you. Isn't that amazing? Just think, not only does He love you, not only did He die for you, but He's always thinking about you. He's interceding. He's talking to His Father on your behalf, on my behalf. You know, no human being has the ability to consciously think about you all the time. And even if they care about you, they love you, they can't do what Christ can do for you. He talks to His Father. He knows every need, every burden, every heartbreak, every situation. He knows it all, and He's interceding for us. He's going to His Father on your behalf, on my behalf, right now. And that is part of His love. This is a passage that is phenomenal in Ephesians 2, verse 4. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, I mean, God is rich in mercy because of His great love. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? His great love with which He loved us. Now, what are some of the benefits, the outworking of that love? Verse 5, even when we were dead in our transgressions, dead as doornails. I mean, we were separated from God. Our heart was beaten, but we were not in relationship with the sovereign of the universe. We were dead. We were separated, which is what dead means. We were separated from God in our transgressions, in our sins. He made us. This is where love breaks in. He made us alive together with Christ. Alive together with Christ by grace. And so only by grace. It's not because we were cool or, you know, we had it all together. By grace, you were saved. And raised us. This is the next part. He not only made us alive together with Christ, we're raised up. This is spiritual reality we can't fathom really at this moment. But spiritually, in our spirit, in God, we are alive. Whoa, we are powerful too. We're alive and we're risen with Christ. This is amazing. Again, we can't get it. We just can't fully. But there's some amazing reality that's true for every person in here who knows the Lord Jesus. We are seated at the heavenlies, in the heavenlies in Christ. What? You have a position that is so awesome. And we don't get it, but it's because of God's love for us. It's just not a little dinky love. It's His great love. His great love for us. It's so beyond us, but that's how much He loves you. He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ. No wonder it's called His great love. His great love. And notice that, all those benefits of His great love. Notice when they really started in our life. Verse 5, He poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If you've trusted Christ, the moment you trusted Christ, the moment you put your faith in Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God invaded your life. He came into your life. That happened at our salvation. He came into our life, and He brought all these benefits of Christ to you. The moment we trusted Christ, the Spirit of God came. His love is amazing. Now, quite frankly, again, we don't get it all. We don't grasp it all. There's a lot of dear Christians who, if they haven't studied the Bible, haven't read the Bible, don't know much about the Bible, a lot of times they got all this wealth, but they don't have a clue how wealthy they are spiritually. And God says to us, "You're so rich. Just pay attention. Just pay attention to," and that says how much I love you. I love you. You know, we maybe that's what we need to be reminded of today. Sometimes when I will travel, and let's say I'm traveling by myself, and I'm going to be gone maybe for a week or so, and I'll open up my suitcase, I'll start, you know, after I get there and start looking through it, and then kind of about three shirts down, I find this little card, right? I find a little card. And then I open up, and it's from my wife, right? And the last time I got it, had a puppy on the front. I think she was having a hard time finding a card. But anyway, had a puppy on the front, and then, "I love you," right? "I love you." Well, you know what? I mean, that means a lot to me, right? I'm a card saver. You send me one, I save it forever. But anyway, but God has sent a card to all of us who have trusted Christ. And you open up, "I love you. I love you." And we need to be reminded of that, you know, because a lot of us go through very hard times. And we need to be reminded how much God loves us. I perhaps have shared this, but there was an elderly Scottish woman who lived alone and the greater part of her day, there was nobody around. And somebody asked her, "What do you do during the day?" And this lady reminded me of a dear little lady. She's with the Lord now, but I'd go visit her every once in a while. She reminds me so much of this little lady. "What do you do during the day?" "Well," she said, "I get my hymn book. I have a little hymn, a time of praise to the Lord. Then," she said, "I get my Bible, and I let the Lord speak to me. When I'm tired of reading and I cannot sing anymore, I just sit still and let the Lord love me." That dear little lady I have in my mind, she so reminded me of that. She had a little rocking chair set right by a window, by herself most of the day. On the windowsill, she had her Bible, had a hymn book. Just sat there and let the Lord love her. Maybe we just need to be reminded that the Lord loves us. I know sometimes it doesn't seem like that's true because life is painful. I understand that. We live in a sinful world. But you know, we just need to sit there and remember, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now, let's look at this. How does this help our reflection on the future? How does this give us hope that is certain? Well, our certainty of our hope, notice what it says in verse 6. It's all wrapped up in God's love. Verse 6, "For while we were still helpless," while we were feeble, while we were totally bankrupt. You know, it's like a person who's had a severe stroke and you can't move, right? Helpless. You're desperate. And we spiritually were desperate. Without strength, we're helpless. And notice what it says in our passage. "For while we were still helpless, while we were paralyzed, while we were bankrupt, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." He died for the ungodly. And for here, he died for, and in the context determines how that little word is used. But in this context, it is to die in the place of. We use this word theologically, he died as our substitute. In other words, he died so that we might live. He died in our place. He He's our substitute. That substitutionary atonement, if you want the phrase theologically. But it's a very, very important phrase because it says that Christ did something for me while I was totally paralyzed spiritually. I couldn't do anything for myself. And he came along and did this for me because he loves me. I was helpless, and you were helpless. You see, this is one of the problems when people say, well, I'm just going to improve my life. I'm just going to get better. I'm, you know, God will smile on me. He'll just let me right into heaven. No way. We're paralyzed spiritually. That's why Christ had to do it all. Christ died for the ungodly. That's even worse than helpless. That's rebellious. We were so undeserving. God, Christ died for us because of his love for us. The cause is all wrapped up in his love. As you see in our passage again, it's just amazing. The love of God has been poured out within us through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. We were unlovable. One has said, man must have a motive for loving. God has none but in himself. You see, God's love is for the undeserving. We don't deserve God's love. Now, I know in our culture, I think one of the things we've been duped by this, the whole philosophy of the culture, has made the individual so self-centric. We're so self-centric in our culture. And we think we're the center of the universe. But that's a lie. Christ is the center of the universe. And we're helpless. We're ungodly. We're rebellious. But God loved us anyway. It's like a spoiled kid. You ever been in a doctor's office, you know, and a mom, poor mom, she's there, and she's got this kid that's just totally out of control. Just totally obnoxious. Just driving everybody crazy. Praying that he'll be the next one to go in, right? Because you just get out of this room. You know how a mom can love that kid, right? Nobody else in the office does. But you know, God loved a whole bunch of ungodly kids. We were in there fussing and fighting, rebelling, having our fist up in God's face. And God says, I love you anyway. For the ungodly. He loves us so much. 1 Christian lady, some years back, she was dying. Her daughter was at her bedside. The mother said to her daughter, my child, I have loved you because of what you are. My heavenly Father, to whom I go, has loved me in spite of myself. God's love is unearned, and it is also unmatched. Notice verse 7. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. Well, a righteous man, you know, somebody that's upright. Somebody that, you know, they're not going to lie to you. They tell you the truth. You can trust them. You know, if they sign a contract, you know they'll keep it, you know. But most people, you know, they're thankful for a person like that, but they're not going to die for a person like that. Maybe for a good person. Maybe for that person who's not only upright, but that person who's sensitive and extra kind. You know, the person that, you know, is the neighbor on the block that everybody likes. You know, and they're just special. They're a special person. Now, there might be a few people who would die for that person. But even that is rare. To die that they might live? Well, the good news is that God loved us even though we're far from good, we're far from righteous. The little boy, he was... He had the same blood type as his little sister. And so his little sister needed blood because she had I think she had had a surgery, and so she really, really needed blood. And he was it was a unique blood type, so his type fit, and so they asked him, and he said, oh, yeah, he would do it. So anyway, so just a little dude, and you can see the scene, right? He's laying on this thing, he's given blood, he's laying on this pallet, and he had already given blood. They'd taken it and taken it to another room for his sister, and the doctor was there, and he's looking up at the doctor, and he said, Doc, when do I croak? He thought by giving his blood, he was going to die in order for his sister to live. Isn't that a noble little dude, right? Probably after she got out of the hospital, they were fussing and fighting. But anyway, he was going to give that to her. Now, that's very exceptional. But Christ died for us, even though we were so out of whack. He died in our place. Notice, this is an amazing thing. Perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet are still sinners, Christ died for us. He died. God demonstrates, God proves beyond a shadow of a doubt his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. And just let that soak in. Christ died in our place. And I know you know, a lot of us have heard that, and we've heard it so many times that it hasn't, you know, just kind of, oh yeah, yeah, I know. That's what they say at church, right? But if we really are honest about who we are, how messed up we are, how sinful, how rebellious, and we realize that God loved us anyway, beyond that, instead of that, by sending, God demonstrates his own love. I hope you know that passage. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died in our place. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know that God loves you? That determines a sense of certainty for your future. If you're uncertain about God's love, first of all, if you're uncertain about God's love, you've probably never trusted Christ. It's possible. God loves you so much. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves you. Some of us may not believe that. I remember one day, I was in a church in another place, and this lady looked at me, and I've known her over the years, and she looked at me, and you just see it in her eyes. She said, I do not feel loved. You just feel the pain. You can just feel the pain. And that's where God reminds us. He takes us back to the cross. I do love you. You see, some are going through really hard times and you're doubting whether God loves you. And God takes us back to the cross. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's like, you know, when you have a little child and they're just maybe 3, 4 and you're trying to talk to them, and you know their mind is going everywhere, you know. They're a little hyper Johnny, right? And so they keep turning away. You're trying to talk to them, and you take your little hand, if it's your child, and you turn their little face and you have them look right at you, right? Maybe that's what God is doing this morning. He's just turning your attention to him. And he says, look at me, look at me, look at me. I love you. I love you. And that will give us certainty, because what happens is when we are certain of God's love for us, the immensity of that love, that gives us certainty of our future sharing in his glory. Maybe you need that assurance today. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. This is the day. Awesome day. Opportunity. Trust Christ. Jesus, I need you as my Savior. I cannot do this. I cannot be saved without you. I trust you and you alone as my Savior. And for those of us who know him as our Savior, maybe we need, by, like we say with little Johnny, we turn our head, God turns our face back to him, and he's reminding us, you know he loves you, but you've forgotten, and he brings your attention back to him, and he said, I love you. And the certainty of our future, of our amazing future of sharing God's glory, is then instilled within us because we reminded the immensity of God's love for us. I'd like us to just, where's Kyle? Is Kyle here? Maybe not. I don't see him. Okay. Let's sing in that, let's go to the love of God. Oh, Kyle, thank you. Look, Kyle, would you, it's so nice to see people that you like. Okay, yeah, okay. I didn't see you. I thought the rapture had partially occurred. Okay, so Kyle's going to lead us, and we're going to do just the last line of that hymn. But I want to remind you of this. I'm sure you've heard this, but I want to remind you. I saw this yesterday. That last line, and if you guys can put it up for us, that last line of, O love of God, how rich and pure, measureless and strong. And then go to the last line and not the chorus, okay? Okay. Now, what I want you to watch the words, and I want to tell you this story. This is what I understand, because I've seen this restated several times. The author, this song had been written before that was ever a part of the hymn. Someone, this is what I understand the story, someone found these words scribbled on the wall in an asylum. Now, with that in mind, think of these words. Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Now, somebody was in a desperate world. They were in a desperate world. But God brought their attention to him, how much he loved them. Let's stand. Kyle, lead us in this. Oh, the ocean fill, and were the sky a parchment?
On earth a quill,
and every man a scribe by trade,
to write the love of God
God, we thank you so much for the immensity of your love to us. Father, if there's anyone who's never looked to the Lord Jesus to trust him as their Savior, to be able to tap into your love, we pray that that will happen even today. And Father, for all of us who know the Lord Jesus, may we allow our attention to be brought back to how much you really, really, really do love us. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.